Ugh, this smells weird.
Yeah. This is a Baskin Robbins. What's the flavor?
It's green apple. It's going to make my mouth itchy. I can't drink too much of it. Yeah, Baskin Robbins green apple, everybody. That's weird, huh? It's from Korea. This is part of the box that my friend Chris sent me for my birthday.
Is it so gross?
Ew, it's just, no.
Is it just green apple?
It's just green apple. It's not gross. It's just really fucking sweet. And like really.
Oh, it's like tart.
It's really intense. Ew.
It tastes like a green apple Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, totally.
I love green apple Laffy Taffys. But you chew it and it's not like something that coats your whole mouth.
Yeah. This did not quench anything for me.
No. That would be good as like a mixer probably.
Yeah. And like with soda water, like diluted a little bit.
Just purely flavor.
It's cold. Hold that for a sec. Like, I think it was because it was in the back of the fridge. It's
probably against the wall.
Icy.
Yeah, I probably won't take another sip.
I'll take a few, but I've also noticed like artificial green apple kind of makes my mouth itchy.
Maybe it's the dye. It's
always been that way. I don't know. Like since I can remember. Like that's the one Jolly Rancher flavor I can't have.
Mm.
Also, it's apple mint.
Oh, I don't taste any mint. I don't taste mint at all. That's purely green apple.
I hate it.
Gross. Okay. Gross, gross, gross.
Ugh.
Hi, guys.
Hello, everyone.
Happy Monday. I'm Alex.
Hello, I'm Kristen.
And this is Odd Vice.
This is Odd Vice.
This is.
You've ever heard of us before?
What is today?
Monday.
Monday, April 15th.
Tax day.
Ooh, did you do your taxes? Did you guys do your taxes? I did mine quite early this year.
Yeah. I got on top of it. There was some delays with some stuff like that my tax girl like
needed more.
Yeah, like it took like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's some like other information she needed, but we're good. We got it done. It's definitely done. My least favorite time of the year. Every year since I can remember, I just go into that appointment and like dread it. And I start rethinking every financial decision I've ever made in my whole life. And it just, I get such bad money anxiety. And I don't know. At least I like my tax girl. We have the same tax girl now. She's nice. Amazing.
I'm surprised I'm getting a return this year, which I haven't had a return. I don't know why I'm getting a return, which is so weird. Mm. I don't know. I hope it's right. It's probably right. But
look, I'm getting you if it's not.
Let's hope the IRS doesn't come knocking on my door. It's right. And it's not. The amount that I'm getting back is actually less than my fee was to pay her to do my taxes. So I just broke even this year, which I'm fine with. Better than owing. So
yeah, I owe.
It's done and it's over with.
I always owe, though. That's 1099 life.
Yeah.
It's definitely the, if you're like any type of freelancer, you know, it's definitely the con. But there's a lot of pros that go with it. So I try to just like.
Do you do quarterly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a lot April nicer 15th too. Doesn't hit the same, right?
I guess it just does because even before I did taxes this way, it's just.
You just knew this time of year.
Right.
But you do like if you do this quarterly, it is the same thing each quarter? Or no. Does this you
this
do
more?
This
is like the last date you have to get it in.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's really important to have a tax person that like understands your relationship with money too.
Absolutely. So you don't feel silly if you're like,
what is this?
What does this mean? Yeah.
I used to have a tax guy, you guys.
Oh my God. He was literally the age of a dinosaur.
He was
as well.
So awful. He fucked me too. Like I won't get into finances cause I don't like talking about that too much, but yeah, there was a lot of cleaning up that my new tax lady had to do. Nothing crazy. That sounds like tax evasion or something like that. No.
He was just unorganized.
Exactly.
And just didn't do his job efficiently.
Yeah. And when I remember one of the first times I told him like, this stuff does make me like kind of anxious. Like I just want to make sure we have everything done correctly. And he's like, well, why? Like, what's the worst that can happen? I was like, I mean, that's what I don't know. And that's what kind of scares me. And B, I honestly, like it sounds silly, but I am afraid of like, I feel like ever since Mike the Situation shit blew up, I'm like, now I have this fear of like going to prison. Mind you, this is such an irrational fear because
you
I'm
do
doing
your
my
taxes.
Like he literally that happened because he didn't do taxes on millions of dollars, which is definitely not my bracket either.
Right.
But I remember telling him like, I'm scared to like go to jail for this. And I'll never forget it. He goes, well, you look good in an orange jumpsuit.
That's crazy.
What a crazy guy. That was the last year I ever worked with him.
What a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
So. Whoa.
And then he ended up like doing shit. I mean, nothing that could have got me in jail, thank goodness. But like, no.
He was just.
Imagine if I stayed with him. Like, who knows right. where we'd be now?
Exactly.
I wonder if he's even still alive. Rest his soul if he's not. But God, like, way to freak me
out. He should have retired years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. Even some of the shit he would say, because he was like a tax person, but for entertainment. So he like knew what things to write off and all that. But even some of the shit he'd say, like, if you're ever like filming your audition tapes, like if you buy any of those tape recorders, like you can write those off. And I was like, oh, this man has no idea.
No.
What he's saying. Whoa. You don't buy tapes anymore.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy? That's so nuts. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about taxes. Yeah. Let's stop.
Let's not.
Just go do them if you haven't already. At least file an extension. There's nothing wrong with filing an extension.
You know who sounds like they would evade taxes?
Tom Sandoval.
Tom fucking Sandoval.
Guys.
We know.
We know everything now. We are actually officially caught up season 11. Like, we are now watching it roll out every Wednesday with you guys if you're watching Vanderpump Rules. And we can start the Valley now.
Yes.
And like,
yeah, we'll like binge that tomorrow morning.
Please, I'd love nothing more. We finally made it to Scandoval, though, and let's talk about it. I will say, it came out of left field. There was no way anybody could have ever guessed that. But Alex,
yeah, kind of fucked up.
But luckily, you didn't fuck up too early. You know, right? It only happened
two episodes before. It was
two seasons before.
No.
We just were going through the season so fast.
Season one before.
Like, I was thinking season 11. Never mind. Raquel was on screen showing something, and I was like, ooh, like, can I look her up? Because if I had a question about anything outside of what the show was showing, I would ask Alex, can I look it up? And, like, if she knew what Scandoval was, so she would tell me yes or no. And I said, ooh, can I look up Raquel's Instagram, whatever? And she goes, no. And I was like, oh. And she's like, well, no. You just like, you shouldn't look up anybody. And I was like,
I'm not subtle.
Okay. And which is valid. I shouldn't be looking up anybody. But all your other reactions right. to that were so like, nah, don't. Just wait.
No.
I was like, okay, fuck. And then one thing with that kind of like half context in the back of my head, I then started thinking about when she bought the lightning bolt necklace. And I was like, huh, Tom has a lightning bolt necklace, but like maybe lightning bolts were just in that year and I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
So I kind of like brushed that one under, and then
it was.
Now we're here.
A seven month in quote affair. I think it was far longer than that. I think that's why she broke off her engagement with
James. Yeah.
I just feel like that's what it is.
It just makes me so sick. And watching it now, like the fact that they're still, at least at this point in season 11, I don't know in real time if this is still the situation, but like they still live in the same house. And like, I obviously see and feel and couldn't even fathom what Ariana is going through, but I'm like, get out of the fucking house. Like, yeah. I see what she's trying to do, like standing her ground, but I'm like,
I just want to shake her. Back. She's harboring so much fucking anger, and it's like feeding into itself because she's keeping herself in the situation. Like, she's not even giving herself a chance to heal. Mm-hmm. If she would just get out of the house, start to build a new life, then then she has a chance to actually let go of some of that hatred.
Yeah.
Like, it's not helping her any. And it's almost like the way that she's acting right now in season 11 is she's giving him so much power over her emotions. And like, I get that. She's obviously very clearly affected naturally by what he did. But if you want to sit here and act all high and mighty like you're over it and fuck him and you don't want him to talk to you ever again, why are you still feeding into how he's affecting you?
Yeah, she just broke down on the episode. We literally paused it before we press record. And I was like, okay, good. Like, good. She's getting something out. She said, like, well, because he's taken everything else from me that, like, I do, like, she wants to sink her teeth into what she can still control, which I do get. But, like, yes, in the bigger picture here, it would be a lot more healthy for her to get the fuck out of the house. But, like, I just try to think about, like, imagine buying a house with someone you've been with for 9 years. And it, you know, she kept saying, like, that was my dream house. Like, she decorated it exactly how she wanted. And I could imagine it would be really hard to just,
like, let it go.
Let it go, because it would feel like letting him win when he's already fucking dragged her through the mud.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, again, this, like, whole thing is something I am glad to say I will never experience and will never even need to worry about.
Right.
Cheating's one thing, but, like, obviously with a best friend I just put it into terms, like,
right,
that literally would make me and your boyfriend have an affair for over 7 months. Like,
I can't imagine.
And the turmoil that would happen after, like, I don't know. It's
simply never anything we would never experience. But yeah. And the whole other layer with them being like in the spotlight and social media. And I'm sure, like, and it is, I'm not going to sit here and defend Sandoval at all, but the hate, and Lisa even said this, the hate that he got online and the death threats and, like, telling him to actually kill himself, it does not, I don't think it equates to the crime.
No.
I don't think so at all. And Agreed. No one deserves that.
No.
Ever.
Agreed. Even when we started season 10, it was like, this season, there's one clip that it was Ariana being like, or Tom's like, can I do anything for you? Or can I get you anything? And she was like, you could die, or, like, I want you to die, or something like that. And before I knew what it was, I was still like, whoa, like, that's, I don't know. Like, have your pain, scream at someone, like, fucking break something if you need to.
But to wish death, on someone is, it's a whole other layer. And I actually can't imagine, like, having that, holding on to that energy inside of my body.
To be able to genuinely say that out loud. Maybe throw that one in the journal. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Write it away.
Close the book. Let it out. Like, I see where it's coming from, but she said it multiple times now. Like, she just made a thing about him drowning. Like, if he could just go in the ocean and drown. Like,
it makes me so sad for her.
I know. And I hope in modern day, like, where we're at right now, she has seen
some healing.
Yes. And, like, maybe we'll start seeing that in the rest of the season too. Like, I don't know. I also just can't believe I know what it is now. Like, I feel like I'm like,
we're through the trenches.
Yes. And the reaction I felt when we saw that episode too, like, we watched the 3-part reunion too. We stopped watching it for 2 days, which is a long time for us. Mm-hmm. We went through the reunion and we had to take a little break. I don't know. I just can't believe it.
I can't fathom it.
I just can't.
And I actually think Raquel, I think she was under this, like, impression that everything was going to turn out fine.
Because he probably painted it that way, because he's a fucking narcissist.
He probably painted this pretty picture. Well, we'll face her. We'll come out clean and we'll just focus on us. And, like, it'll all be worth
it. Run off into the sunset.
And she literally believed it would be, like, her happy ending.
Yeah.
And she didn't even take into account anyone else in the situation. Her state of, like, his state of mind, we can almost, like,
expect
and we can, like, wrap it up into, like, he's a narcissist, he's clearly a sociopath, like, selfish beyond belief. But her, there's something else going on there. Even when I was watching the reunions, I was like, she actually has zero remorse.
Yeah,
she's saying words and she's saying she's sorry, she's saying she regrets everything she did, and she's almost saying it as if, like, she's sorry for the picture that's now painted of her, but she is not sorry for how Ariana, like how she made Ariana feel.
Yep.
And she, like, she didn't shed one tear.
Until after.
After.
She shed more tears when she talked about losing her pageant.
Right.
Place or whatever.
It was Peter. Her mindset, I can't wrap my hand around.
Something's off for sure. I mean, anybody who's capable of stooping that low and hiding it for that long, something's off that I think our brains will never be able to understand because we're not capable of that type of behavior.
Right.
But what blew my mind is how many times the both of them were like, we had no intent to hurt anybody. Right.
The intention, as if the intention behind everything is like triumphs just all.
Clears your name.
Right.
Sure. It's not about intent. It's about cause and effect.
Exactly. No, they're not being asked to own up to their intentions here.
No.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your fucking intentions were. No. What you did is what you did. And hey, this is how it affected the people around you.
You didn't think about that before you did it?
Right.
Because it's not rocket science what this ripple effect would have been. Hence why they hit it.
Exactly.
Like.
Idiot. A whole bunch of fucking idiots. Honestly, bunch of idiots.
It breaks my heart. Some of the conversations we hear throughout this show, because I just couldn't imagine having. I mean, even living my life online could be a lot sometimes, but I control the narrative.
Right.
I couldn't imagine having to go through the years that we've gone through with a camera.
Jesus.
In your face. Even like one of the episodes, Tom started crying and he had to go turn in the closet in a corner.
Yeah.
And the cameraman just had to stay there. I would not have the heart to be a cameraman.
No.
For Bravo.
Insane.
But like, yeah, I couldn't imagine going through this period, but then going through it.
With cameras.
With a whole nation behind you, cameras. And this, what I'm imagining is like a natural instinct they all have built over the past decade of remembering this is for entertainment.
Yeah.
And like having to look at your real life emotions is like, oh, wait, hold on.
Yep.
Someone's going to see this. So maybe I need to not say this or say this a certain way. Like that's got to affect healing on a whole other level that you can't even have these heart to heart with your friends and actually say the icky things you say to friends during breakups without judgment, because there's a cameraman staring at you and a guy with a boomstick catching your audio. Like,
and it's all filtered and they probably don't even like recognize real raw emotions from what is in front of a camera. It's really scary.
And it's like, yeah, they signed up for it. Like at the end of the day.
And they were like, like you said, they've been doing it for the past 10 years, 11 years. Like,
I don't know.
But at what cost?
I
couldn't do it.
I don't know. It's all I think about every episode, even before fucking Scandoval. I'm like, how are they just doing this on camera 24/7? Right. Like,
they don't even probably notice it anymore.
No, not at all. Which is like.
And we actually had that thought when we saw Sheena and Brock fighting.
Yeah.
And they were fighting at the, like, in their little breakfast nook with their little girl right there and, like, yelling at each other. And we're like, God, if this is how it is with cameras on, how do you think it is with cameras off? Or is it not different because they don't see a difference?
They just don't see it. And, like, the yelling in front of the kid thing, like, I get parents are going to do that naturally. But, like, there was one point where she goes, Brock's like, saying like, Lala,
get your anger out.
Takes it out. And she goes, take it out.
Like, get, like,
she knows what they're saying.
Understanding the conversation.
Preschool. Yeah. Like, I have memories from preschool. This kid is going to retain everything you're saying.
Yep.
I hate to see it.
Oh, God. Enough. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Earlier this week, I went and saw Civil War, the new A24 movie. And it was good. I think you could watch it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like.
She says this because I feel like we should give context to
that. Yeah.
I like any like doomsday type of shit just like really freaks me out because I'm like scared that's where we're headed. So I asked Alex to like, give me somewhat of a review because I want to see it because of A24, duh. But like, am I going to freak out?
I don't think you're going to freak out. Honestly, it was about, I wouldn't even call it like end of times. It was about, it followed journalists who covered the Civil War or the like theoretical Civil War. It's like current, based on current times.
Okay. So, okay. It's modern.
Yeah. It's modern. and it follows people who photo. It's actually like shot fucking beautifully. And it follows the photographers who follow people who get into these, like, I don't even want to call it like the war's on our grounds. So they follow like military operations, people who are basically like, not acting out, but like going against the government.
Oh, okay.
And it's good, but I almost feel like they didn't even provide enough information. Like we don't know why there's a civil war. Okay. I mean, like we can all assume why there's a civil war, right? But they don't like lay it out okay. for you. And it's, you like land, you start the movie in the middle of the civil war. And it was good up until the end. The end for me was really fucking good. But then there was this one moment where I was like, me and my boyfriend looked at each other. We were like, are you fucking serious?
Can,
like,
I know, or would that give it away?
No. Yeah, you can't know. You can't know.
Shit.
But it's,
I guess if you guys watched it, you know what she's talking about, maybe.
Yeah, the one moment, like the whole end sequence is really fucking good. And again, it's shot so beautifully.
A24 is so good at
it. It's so fucking good. And like the score was really good as well.
Ooh.
But there's one scene where you're like, really? Why did they need to do this? Like, they didn't need to end it this way.
And I kind of want to know.
You have to watch it. I think you should watch it.
If you told me that one thing that's stupid, will it change the movie for me? Is it a spoiler?
Yeah.
Okay. Then yeah, don't tell me.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you. See it. Maybe don't like spend the money to go see it in theaters. Yeah, okay. Wait till it comes out and then watch it. I liked it.
Out of 10?
6.5.
Okay, that's not terrible.
No, it's not.
Like, but you're right. That's one I'm gonna watch at home.
Yeah, and it was good. And like, I love Kirsten Dunst. It's just.
Oh, I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah, she's the main character.
How old is she now?
Probably. She look good. Probably like in her 50s. Huh. Yeah, she looks great.
Aw.
And like, she's great in it, and the cast is really great.
It's to see her in a serious role. I guess Spider-Man was relatively serious.
Yeah.
I just think of Bring It On.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my first.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's my, at least for me, that was my first time ever seeing her.
Right.
It was that and then Spider-Man.
Yeah. No, she's really great in it. And like, oh, I wish we could, like, I wish you saw it so we could like talk about it more. But it's good. It's eerie in the sense that it's so like Handmaid's Tale, where you could see, the progression of our current like political state right now.
That's what freaks
and
me
how
out.
Yeah, but I think the amount of information that they give, like, whereas I wanted more information as right. to why we're in the Civil War, but I think that amount is perfect for someone like you who like you don't spiral. Need to yeah you don't need all the details to understand the movie. Like I said, it really is about being a journalist in this cool. time and like taking all of these photos that are they're taking photos of very fucking devastating things, yeah. but they're doing it so that the world knows what's going on.
Right.
And it really hits that point in such a beautiful way.
I even think about that with my, like, I don't want to watch stuff like that. I mean.
But like, we need to.
I kind of need to.
Like, yeah. And it hits that point. Like they're taking these photos where you're almost like, what the fuck? Why aren't you intervening? Why aren't you stopping what you're taking?
It's journalism.
And it shows the photos and it's if you're like, if you don't like gore or if you don't like seeing dead bodies, I wouldn't watch it, but it is beautiful in the way that like this shit is fucking happening everywhere. If we don't have any photographs or any proof of it, then like it's what's ever going to be addressed? Head. Yeah, it's not yeah. real.
Yep.
And like all of the, and they also address that, like, which I also see happening if there is ever a civil war here on our turf, the amount of people that would just like stay home and act like nothing's happening, which they also address, like the main photographer, she's like, yeah, my parents are just like at their farm in Colorado. They are trying to act like nothing's going on. But meanwhile, like it's showing New York and all these different
cities. I was going to say, what cities?
New York.
Okay.
It's a journey for them, so they hit a lot of places
throughout the nation. Okay.
Yeah, and it shows like the juxtaposition of like they go into this little town, I think in like North Carolina, and everyone's just like walking down the street, doing nothing, like acting like it's a normal day.
Yeah.
But then it'll like cut to a scene in New York where military's just fucking everywhere and everyone has their guns out, and like it's weird.
It's their world right now.
But it's so fucking real.
That's why I love A24. Like, that's
They really hit it. And it's really good. It's just that end scene really pissed me off. And we got out, my boyfriend goes, it gave a little like Netflix a little bit with how they decided to do that end scene.
Corny?
Corny as hell. I would have been
when the rest of it wasn't corny. Exactly. So you're like, why the fuck would you
exactly? And if you watch this, like let me know if you also agree that, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, you really gotta watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it. It's really good.
And then Sunday we're seeing Immaculate.
Yeah, tomorrow, Sydney Sweeney.
So I guess yesterday for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to see a scary movie.
I'm excited
for that. We got good seats.
Ooh, are we like
back row, dead center?
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited for that.
I'm really excited.
I'm excited to see her in a different role.
Yeah, scary.
Like, and it's like, isn't it possessed scary?
I don't know. So Immaculate is out at the same time as The First Omen. And I've heard the Omen is really fucking good. I've heard that, but it seems like it's the same plot. I know, to me. Like
the covers of it, aren't they both nuns?
They're both nuns.
This is like, I'm surprised I committed to this.
It's gonna be scary.
Another genre.
You can sit in the middle.
I might have to. That's another genre where like anything like Exorcist or I don't know when like.
Religion.
Demons come into the church and like that type. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
It's too eerie.
Yeah, because I mean, if you believe in God and Jesus, you also believe in the devil. So like,
right.
It is true in these words and in this world.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in God, but it still fucking scares me. Like, so I don't know. Yeah. I also think I'm a little scarred from the fucking Exorcist just from like growing up and like Monica forcing me to watch it and The Ring, fingers on my eyes to open, like forcing me to watch these scary movies as a young girl. So I think I'm a little scarred from that too. Yeah, but
for sure.
Like even Scary Movie 2, the comedy.
Oh my God, really?
The one with the Exorcist.
That's crazy.
It freaks me out. She is so scary to me.
Yeah.
I saw a TikTok of somebody at the Wax Museum here in New York, and they have
like
a horror section of
we
like
should go.
The nun, like and, but there's sure we'll go, but I'm keeping my eyes closed for this one part.
Is she in the bed?
In the bed, she's like suspended too. Oh, and like sick. Has like the puke all over her mouth. It looked really good, I will say. Like the Wax Museum nails it every time.
Whoa, though.
I'm like gripping this cord right now.
Whoa.
She scares me so bad.
Yeah, she's super scary.
Valid. I mean, it's literally made for that. And the fact that like, isn't it supposed to be like a true story or some shit? Like people, like,
I don't know.
People getting possessed is like,
oh, I mean, I'm sure.
Like true
yeah.
Isn't that like what the Conjuring is and shit?
The Conjuring's true. I believe the Conjuring.
I miss the Sam and Colby series.
Me so much.
If you guys haven't watched the Sam and Colby series.
We had to actually stop watching it because we were starting to get weird vibes in our apartment. I know.
Well,
and you were DMing Colby. You were like, okay, like, give me the scoop.
And he was like, no, it changed. I don't know if we told them this.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I had to DM Colby afterwards to get the scoop. And I asked how do you guys cleanse yourselves after filming shit like you do? And he went into that. I won't necessarily share it. Not that it's bad, but like, I'll let that be their content.
Yeah.
And then we kind of were just talking about like the general craziness of the whole series. And he's like, yeah, dude, like it changed my life. Like I didn't believe in any of this before. And like, I will never be a skeptic again. And I was like, fuck. That's crazy to hear. And I couldn't imagine experiencing it because I already believe in it. So to experience it, I think
to have the physical proof.
Send me.
Oh,
Yeah,
I'm excited for tomorrow night. Scary movie.
I know, I'm kind of scared. I might have to sit in the middle. Honestly, like, It's going to be just freaky to sleep, but
yeah.
I mean, we'll sleep with the TV on.
Or sleep on the couch.
That's even worse.
Really?
I don't like it out here at night.
Oh, I'm most comfortable out here at night. It's too big. Other issues.
Right. It's too big. Like, if I'm going to be scared, I need to be, like,
condensed,
tucked away. Even my room.
But then I can't escape. Too big.
But then nothing can get behind me or to the side. Like, I can see all I need to see.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. I don't know. Like, when I was scared growing up, I'd go in my closet because, like, it was small and I could, like, I knew everything around me. Whereas, like, even a bed, like, something could be under the bed.
Ugh. That's
all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
I want to get one of those beds that it's like a, like, it has, it's on the floor.
Just like a.
What, the bed frames that, like, aren't lifted.
I know what you mean. Okay, yeah. Like, it's almost
I want
like
the one a box spring,
but, like, not. Yeah. I like the ones that are like squishy and have like a step up.
Yeah.
Step up. I think Logan Paul used to have that.
That's really nice. It's you would have to have a really big bed for that to look good though.
Yeah. Big room. You know? It'd have to be like very grand or it's going to look like a college kid who just like has their mattress on the floor, which.
Yep.
That's your own aesthetic if that's what you choose. But as a 29-year-old woman,
their own.
I don't think I'm going to really do that.
To each their own.
You want to know what I'm doing tonight?
What?
I just got the text from Shelby.
What are you doing?
Just guess. Like, you're never going to guess. I just want to see where your head goes.
I don't know. Are you going to like a rooftop?
No. We're going to the World Championship of Sumo Wrestling at Madison Square Garden.
That's so fucking funny. And I've also seen this. Wait, no, I might have seen something different. There's a sumo and sushi like company that travels.
Whoa.
And they have, it's like they're on tour and they do like this whole sumo thing. And I think they're in Brooklyn at some point. I sent it to my boyfriend. Yeah. I totally want to go. And they do like a fine dining sushi thing, but then
like omakase sumo, maybe.
I don't know. That's probably not because you're surrounding the sumo.
I get like sweat in my food.
Well,
maybe they have little.
I'm sure there's enough lockers. Distance. Like you're not on the stage, but you watch sumo and then you eat sushi. Yeah,
that's so fucking sick.
Yeah,
I don't know what tonight's vibe will be, but it's at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, like, so it has to be big.
It's got
to
be legit.
So cool.
I can't wait for the merch.
Oh, please give me a shirt.
I'll send you pictures. Please, of everything.
I need something.
That is crazy.
That's really cool.
I was like. I asked her what she's doing tonight. I just like hadn't seen our friend Shelby in a minute. And she was like, well, I have an extra ticket. If you want to go, I was like, where are we going? The sumo wrestling world. I think it's world championship. Let me double check.
Yeah. Check the ticket.
Yeah. World sumo wrestling championships.
Oh,
who's what in a it? Night. I don't know.
It's going to be fun. Do you know what your seats are? I hope you're low.
Oh, I hope so too. I'm going to get fired up. I feel like I'm going to be yelling. Like it's going to be like Southpaw.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Rachel McAdams.
You need to look up the rules so you know, like, when things are called, like, what's happening when it's happening.
I'm going to get obsessed. What if I meet the love of my life?
And he's a sumo wrestler?
Yeah.
Hot.
I feel like it kind of would work.
Yeah.
It's like a
but you have NFL to be okay wives. With him, like, potentially being hurt.
Well, if he's good.
Okay.
I'll date the good one.
Yeah, you pick the winner.
I don't even know how they hit each other. Don't they just, like, run at each other?
I think so.
I know they like stomp.
That's gotta be so hard.
Oh, and like, I feel
it's gonna be fun. What are you gonna wear?
I asked Shelby. I was like, "What do I wear?" Actually, read it. Shelby's actually
the funniest person. She needs to be on SNL.
Yeah, I wish she would go into comedy of some sort. I have no idea. I'm probably wearing jeans and a t-shirt because that's what I always wear. And like, if you know Shelby, I guess you guys don't know Shelby, but like in her voice, that's so like. A Shelby thing to say. I don't know.
But
probably casual.
Yeah. Don't go overboard.
Be all done up.
You go in like your courtside.
Courtside like heels, like a jersey.
Yep.
No, I'll probably wear jeans and sneakers and
just like a sweater or something.
Like a cool jacket.
Yeah.
And like yeah.
Like loafers maybe. No, loafers are too nice.
I think
preppy.
Literally my Sambas.
Yeah.
Jeans and like maybe like a Harley jacket or something.
Yeah.
Just casual. We'll see. I told myself I wouldn't drink until Gov Ball, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I might break that tonight. Okay. But I
do you think it's a drinking event?
I mean, I'm going with Shelby.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're meeting at a bar before, so
yeah.
But I'm going to say 3 drinks because I also That's have a lot to do tomorrow.
That's a good cap.
And we have to see a movie.
Yeah.
3 drinks so that I'm not hungover. I want to get home before midnight.
Love that rule.
And then all day tomorrow, spring cleaning, cleaning out the closet underneath my bed.
Oh, yeah.
I need to do that so bad.
I'll just like lay in your room.
That's
with
all
you.
I ask. Okay. I was just going to ask you again.
Yeah.
It just, you don't have to necessarily help. You could totally help if you want to. I'd love it if you did, but you don't have to.
We'll see. I'll probably suggest things.
That's fine.
To do.
But like, I just need someone in there for me to get it done. Cause if nobody hangs out with me while I clean,
you'll stop doing
I'll
it.
I'll stop and I'll just like,
I'll do it later.
I'm done now. Yeah. Spring cleaning vlog coming soon. Stay tuned.
Coming soon. I forgot to mention this, on the way home from the movie the other night, it was sprinkling and we went and got pasta and I had a glass and a half of wine and I completely took a tumble. I ate shit off of a city bike.
Poop. She ate poop off the ground. Someone pooped on the seat.
Okay. So it was in Times Square and
even worse.
It was, you know how the sidewalks, maybe you don't, but this is how the sidewalks are in Times Square. They're like really, really shallow. They're like maybe 2 inches off the ground and they like go down to a slope. So they're not like thick standard sidewalks, but at the slope where they meet the street, it's like a metal cap on it. But I didn't know that, obviously. And it was raining and I was going to like get onto the sidewalk to like weave because it was busy. And I was trying to go up onto the sidewalk and my wheel completely hit that metal thing and turned the opposite direction of the direction like I needed to go. And I went flying off of the bike into the middle of a crowd in the middle of Times
Square.
Everyone's
just cheering.
No, 2 people came running up to me and are like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Help me up." Like got the bike off of me. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Like nothing really happened." And like I was buzzed, but like it didn't happen cuz I was drunk, but I think because I was buzzed, I landed in such a way. My boyfriend, he was so nice about it. He was like, "It's okay." And he was like rubbing my back. I was so embarrassed. He's like, "Hey, I fell off my bike. I did the exact same thing like 2 weeks ago on my way to your house
It's the worst feeling.
It's the worst feeling. He was like, "It's okay. We all do it. Like now you're a true New Yorker." Yeah. He was the best about it. And then he was like, "The way that you fell off though, like I was worried that you were going to be seriously hurt."
Yeah.
Because it looked like my head skid across the pavement.
I'm so glad it didn't.
And I had stuck my hands out to catch my fall. But I think because I was buzzed, I didn't tense up. And I fell so perfectly that like I have a pretty bad scrape on my knee. And I have a gnarly bruise on my, you probably can't see it, on like the base of my palm. Here.
I might be able to see. It's like where the bend of her wrist and the bottom of her palm starts. It is pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's a pretty like brown bruise, but like I'm pretty okay. So, like
all
considering
things considered,
I thought I would be. And like my beanie kind of fell off, so when I got back up. Oh, also, here I'll get to that in a sec. But my beanie kind of fell off and I got up and I was like, "Did I like hit my head and I don't know because my beanie was like off
moved,
and yeah, and like I fully skid across the concrete."
Yeah.
It was scary, but I was fine. But we obviously, I like hop right on the back on the bike and we were on our way home and a car got into a crash right in front of us.
Whoa.
Right in front of us. Rear ended.
You falling.
Stopped us.
Stopped yes. Your timeline from you intercepting that crash.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Because we were, my boyfriend was in front of me and I was right behind him and in front of him was a pickup truck, like a pretty lifted big pickup truck. And my boyfriend went to go squeeze to his left to go around and the pickup truck was turning right, but like went to go straight. He was turning right and then turned slightly left because he changed his mind to go straight.
Got it.
But the car in front of him was stopped and he didn't realize. So he stopped and rear-ended the car in front of him. Ugh. And my boyfriend had literally just went the other direction. It was crazy. It was a crazy night. It was weird vibes.
But you falling, like, that yep. saved the day, man.
Literally.
I I don't doubt it.
No, the timing of it was too like down to the wire.
I've had shit like that so many times. I could think of two right now where red light runners.
Yeah.
That something stopped, slowed me down enough to where I stopped at, because usually like I'll blow a yellow light, but the two times that I can remember, one was with Leanna. I was the first in line at the light, but I was like, I'm not going to chance it. Mm-hmm. Phew! Like someone, oh my God, Link just freaked out. I think that noise freaked out. Oh. Someone just flies through and like, I could have been T-boned.
Yeah.
It's scary. But you being Buzz, we were talking about this earlier, like that is totally why you didn't get hurt worse.
Yep.
Because they say like the drunk driver also statistically gets hurt the least because you're not bracing. You're not tensing up.
And you're not
your center of gravity just allowed you to fall like naturally. And
how I needed to.
City bikes, if I man.
Was, yeah. Well,
we don't wear helmets.
It was the fucking sidewalk.
No, I know. And I mean, I'm not above it at all either. It's just like, I think about how risky it is riding in the city. That's why I'm so bike lane. Even though bike lane's still risky, like if I'm going to ride a city bike, I am going to find, even if it's a longer route, bike lane.
For sure.
We don't wear helmets.
Yeah.
It's scary. I think that's like one of the most common deaths in New York City is bikes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And people like be opening their doors and like don't even look.
Yeah.
Or like when they're turning and like it's our go, the bike lanes go. People just like turn. Like I remember when I used to drive, I check my mirror for bikes all the time.
I'm dinging that bell constantly.
But think about as a driver in New York, I could only imagine. You don't hear anything. Yeah. You don't even hear the person honking at you.
Right.
I'm just glad you're okay.
Me too.
She the next morning said, I fell off a city bike. I'm thinking I'm about to walk out to like a black eye, a cast. And she shows me her knee.
With a bandaid on it.
Like one singular bandage. She's like, see? And then she has this one little raspberry on her elbow. And she's like, ow.
It's scabbed already.
In your defense, those type of cuts hurt more than gashes. And it's like a road rash.
My boyfriend had to wipe it with an alcohol pad and it hurt so bad.
Yeah, it stings. So bad. You're so brave.
I am. I'm actually really proud of myself. Rebuild. I'm really proud of myself that I got back on the bike. My boyfriend was like, I was worried that you're like not going to ride bikes ever again. And I'm no.
It would have to be way worse.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't.
No, me too.
I'm glad you're here to tell the tale.
I survived.
Survivor.
It should go on that show. I survived.
It's like the silhouette of you. If you want to stay anonymous and they like contort your voice.
It was one night. It was Times Square.
I feel like we've been rambling a lot more in these episodes.
Yeah, we've been doing a little bit more shit.
A little more chit-chatting. Yeah, we've been getting out of the house a little bit more, I guess. That's why we have stuff to actually talk about.
Yeah, it feels good to like, I don't know, be out and doing shit. There was a minute there where I was right the day after the eclipse. The day after the eclipse and probably like a good day and a half after that. So total of like 3 days or whatever. I had the lowest amount of energy I think I've ever had.
Wow.
And my anxiety was through the fucking roof. I had like a pretty much panic attack. It was one of those like slow roasting panic attacks. You know what I mean? Where it doesn't like hit and then it fades away. Like
you're just sitting in it.
It brews.
You almost want it to hit so you could get over it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had one of those the day after the eclipse and I couldn't get out of bed that day. It was really bad. But now I'm like getting out of the funk.
Back in your groove.
Yeah.
Good. It happens. I mean, could be a little bit of an eclipse hangover too. Our episode, we were talking about how crazy the fucking energy is all around it. And
I was just drained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even felt that day of, we both kind of like had headaches after
it did something,
but you're getting out of it. That's all that matters. Well, for this week's episode, we kind of talked about this in our Patreon episode. And I mean, this overall topic, imposter syndrome, as you could tell by the title, is something we've talked about before. We actually had a really amazing episode, I think like two seasons ago.
It had to have been 2 years ago at this point.
Right. So we won't go into like what it is necessarily. I guess you can almost look at this as like a part two. So go listen to the first one if you haven't already.
Yes.
It's so helpful. That's one of those episodes I think are like a tool. Like yeah. It will always be relevant.
And we have thing. People still tell us that they still listen to that app. They like go back and re-listen. So
right.
I'm glad it hit the way that we wanted it to, because it's something that we all experience, but I feel like we don't really talk about, because it's like hard to pinpoint, and B, it's one of those things that like you almost don't want to admit that you have it.
Totally.
So it's nice that we...
It's like a part of the imposter syndrome is not wanting to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on Patreon, we were talking about it, but talking about like the better side of it. Because I think as shitty as it is to be in an imposter state of mind, I think there's also a lot of like benefits that kind of keep you in check when you're in that state of mind. And I don't know, we kind of want to just talk about it because maybe it'll relieve some pressure of not, if you're feeling like you're having imposter syndrome, like not thinking, oh, I need to do everything I can to get to not feel like this. Maybe seeing the beauty in it and letting it exist, but not take over your narrative, if that makes sense. I guess what I mean by that is like, I feel like there's a part of imposter syndrome makes you kind of stay humble. Like, and that's what we're talking about in the episode is like, we're talking about somebody in like a career choice they're going through. We won't air out any laundry or anything, but kind of a career choice, career shift. And we were saying like, you don't want to be 1000% confident that you're the best at what you do. Cause that could,
that's also like not true.
Nobody's 100% the best at what they do.
Right.
So I feel like it keeps you humble to it check keeps yourself.
You, yeah. It keeps you in check.
I think it keeps a mindset like in that kind of humble state that reminds you that there's always room for improvement. And I think if you have that mindset around what you're doing, even you can even apply this to like healing too. If you keep yourself in check that there's always room for improvement, I think that's a sign that you're open to growth, which is like the best sign of it all. You're not above it. You're not below it. You're not feeling like you're not deserving, which would be the side of the imposter syndrome spectrum that like you don't want to be on, is like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not deserving this at all. I shouldn't be here. I'm a fraud. You kind of want to find that in between where like you don't believe those negative thoughts about yourself, but you're also not over here like, I'm the best. I can't be fucked with. And which like feels kind of crazy to say, because I feel like any like self-help book or TikTok you watch or anything, right? Like people are like, all right, I think of Lala. How she's like, I'm that bitch. Da, da, da. Like, I've never really understood that type of mentality around
right.
my life.
It's almost just like this really blind confidence.
Yeah.
But who is it benefiting at that point?
Is it like, I guess maybe is it like a fake it till you make it? But like faking something like that feels like right. overly.
And she fraudulent. Literally, there was, do you remember when she was sitting at the table with Brittany and she's like, I'm above people. Like, yeah. I think I'm better than people. And it's like, what do you actually believe that? Yeah, that's yeah. the bad. That's the polar end of the spectrum.
Or it's a overcompensation because deep down she is actually on the low yeah. side of the imposter spectrum of like,
right. She feels like she isn't deserving of this life. So she just has to like front and fake that she is.
Yeah. Sorry to bring Lala into this.
No, yeah. yeah
she's actually doing really great right now.
I am in love with Lala.
She just had
11.
A really good conversation with Sandoval, yeah, actually.
Sandoval.
Admitting that she's just like triggered by him. Okay, we don't need to talk about
yeah, we're not gonna
Vanderpump.
We're not gonna get into
sorry,
it.
Sorry, this is not a Vanderpump podcast.
But yeah, I feel like there's a good way to use imposter syndrome to your benefit to somewhat like light a fire under your ass and kind of put you into the position
to keep growing
confidently where you currently are. So like, I feel like for me, imposter syndrome makes me feel like I don't belong here and I'm not deserving of this position and I don't have the skill set and know enough to be here. So if you use that to your benefit to kind of sit there and say, okay, well, what tools do I need to be here? What would, like on paper, actually make me deserving of this position? And then use that to your benefit and get those skills and do that.
It's using it as a tool. You're right.
Yeah. Use the imposter syndrome as a tool to like level up.
Well, I got here. I got this position. I got this job. Right. I'm feeling not confident that I deserve it, but I might as well take advantage of the fact that I, even if you did slip through the fucking crack.
Yeah.
Sure. There are situations where that can happen where you're like, I don't know the fuck I got this job, but I did. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And you're right. Yeah.
And prove,
you're
prove yourself.
Yep.
Because you got it for a reason, and people don't offer handouts. And I actually, this is something that I did with my current job now. I feel like I slipped through the cracks and I got it for God knows why.
I don't think so.
I know I'm deserving of, especially now, because when I first got there, I saw a hole in the like design team that I could possibly fill. And I was like, okay, I feel like I don't really, like I didn't really do anything yet to prove that I deserve this position now. But now that I'm here, I learned a new skill and it has actually paved a very specific position for me because I was like, okay, I got to do something to prove that I like am
supposed to be here,
deserving of this. And I used it to my advantage and it did, and it paid off. And now I'm fully like, oh yeah, totally. I have a role at this job and at this company that actually like fulfills me, and like I fulfill it. Like I put something into this role, and my imposter syndrome at work specifically is almost non-existent because I used my imposter syndrome to get me there.
Love that. Perfectly said. Use it as a tool. Take what you need from it. Believe what you, I guess, like believe what you want to believe from it. Like,
yeah.
I guess that's where fake it so you make it cannot totally. Be as toxic as it sometimes can be. Is like, okay, well, here we go. I'm going to fucking prove it then.
I'm here.
Yep. I don't know if this is necessarily falls into imposter syndrome. Maybe it does. Let me know. But like to that point, like, okay, well, I'm going to do what I need to do to like feel that confidence. For me, that translates to when I finally ask for help on something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I am experiencing very recent, like literally right now. For years I have said like, I want an assistant, not a personal assistant, not like pick up dog poop assistant, a creative assistant to help me really be able to separate work from life, which is something that can be difficult for me to do because my life is my work, which is a blessing. But you know, you guys know me, like when I'm having my emotional times, but I also need to get like that brand deal done. Like I need to split it up in my head and it could be hard. So I've yearned for this outer perspective to help me really separate business and life. And I finally am very happy to say I hired an assistant and she's absolutely amazing. She has helped me. We just started, so like, we'll see. I'm just kidding. She's great. But like she's helped so much already is what I'm trying to say. And I feel like for so long I thought, oh, like I don't need to get this assistant. I could do this by myself. Like what the hell? Like just pull it together, like kind of talk down on myself.
Yeah.
And I finally was like, no, I need the help. And I think I looked at it as like, it was like a pride thing for so long. Like if I get the help, that means I'm not capable, but there's also nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah. I think a lot that has to do with imposter syndrome is trusting your skill set.
Yep.
And just as much as you have to trust that you're there for a reason and you're deserving of this, there's also so much that you don't know. You don't have that skill set, and like acknowledging that and letting the people or the things come in to help you so that it supplements it.
Exactly. Like if you don't know, then outsource if you can, or ask questions to your boss if you're trying to learn that one thing that you don't necessarily know, but they're not going to be like mad at you for asking to learn something. And if they are, then they're a fucking shitty boss.
Yeah, that's a whole other
topic. But yeah, you're so right. Like literally the second I've like finally realized I'm going to hire her, I was like, oh, like this isn't this like,
it doesn't take away from the things you're good at.
Right. And I thought it would. I thought it would like throw me into the gutter and be like, wow, you can't do shit by yourself, like little bitch, like your job's not that hard, like. And that's how I talk to myself.
And it's like that weird thing where imposter syndrome would almost feed into itself, because you're sitting here like, okay, I have all of this work to do. I am so good at doing this, but I struggle with doing this. You're only focusing on what you're struggling doing. So then you start to feel like an imposter and like you don't deserve it. But wait a minute. What about all this good shit that you do?
Yeah.
Like, get some help with the other things.
So I can put my energy into the stuff I'm good at.
Yeah.
And then like through over time, I'll also build new habits, learn new things from the person that you're asking help from.
Right.
And like,
otherwise it's just a hamster wheel.
Absolutely. And saying it out loud, I feel like I'm like not saying it correctly. And I feel like it sounds like,
oh, I get it.
I know you get it, but I hope it's coming across as it should on the podcast. I don't know. It was just really hard for me to ask for help. And I never thought that was something I struggled with.
Yeah.
Because I am a vulnerable person and I'm comfortable with that. But
I think specifically
professionally,
it's
hard for me.
And like you just being an Aries, like you like to be a leader.
Yes.
And the like head of things.
Yes.
And I think especially for your own career and your own life.
Right.
It was hard to break down that wall. Like, no, I could do it myself. But right.
Because I know I can.
Yeah.
Me still being an Aries. I guess I'll do it, but I just didn't want to. No. I know I can, but it's, for me, I guess this is a little more specific. It's like the mental space that I don't have. So I need someone to help me like organize.
I was going to say, she mentally. Like organized your content for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm still going to go do the filming and the creative and all that. And she's helping me with creative too. But like, I don't know, just, it's like the mental capacity, which was really hard for me to admit that I didn't have. But then I'm like, no.
Everyone has a cap.
No cap. Yeah, no, I have very.
You have very cap.
I am very cap. Yeah.
You have very big cap.
It's because I have a big head.
You have no. What?
I would love. I guess if there's anybody listening out there that can give us this perspective, I would love to talk to like a CEO.
Yeah. And
about
see if
this.
They struggle with this. I'm fucking sure.
I think it's like, it's just so human.
It's one of those things that comes and goes.
Right.
It's not something that like
you master and then you never feel like that again.
No.
I think even just knowing that kind of helps me relax too. Like, well, I got to live with this either way.
Right. Why not use it to my advantage?
Yes. I guess you can really translate that to a lot of things. Like kind of what I was saying earlier with taking what you need from it, letting it be the fire under your ass, letting it motivate you to learn more, whatever, but not leaning into the dark parts of it that will like make you feel undeserving. That's kind of how you can look at anxiety too. I feel like that's like very relevant to what I've been dealing with my anxiety is like, it's like I said, it's gonna kind of be here regardless. Anxiety is a very human thing. Finding that in between where it's not fully ruling your day to day, your mind, every belief you have about yourself, but acknowledging it enough that you're not suppressing it and making it an angry beast either. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's like
it's a beast.
It's a beast.
Yeah. Like if you push it down, I think it deep down tells your brain like you believe it. That's why you're pushing it down. Like you're running from it.
Yeah.
That's dark. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of fucking emotion. Honestly, I keep just thinking about the people in Vanderpump and I keep applying.
I relate
this.
Everything.
The amount of times I've had through. To bite my tongue in this episode to not say like, yeah, like that one time when.
Yep.
Is it annoying? We've seen some comments of people being like, we need Vanderpump updates every episode.
Yeah.
Other than those people, is this not something you want to hear?
Well, my thing is this, especially like Scandoval specifically, was all so, I mean, they were beating a dead horse when it came to everyone talking about it on social media when it was coming out.
I wish I was up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I really missed that mark.
Yeah, it's okay.
I know I'm a year late. There's so many people that listen to the first 20 minutes of this and we're like, we're still talking about
this. Right. Exactly. Exactly. But I'm still seeing, like, now I'm on Scandoval TikTok.
Me too.
And I'm still seeing things come out.
Yeah.
About it. Especially like with the new season rolling out or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's fucking crazy and it will never not be crazy.
Do narcissists have imposter syndrome?
Ooh, good question. Should we get Scandoval on? Should we get him to be on the show?
I don't think so. I think that'd be really bad.
Do you think that would be triggering for you? When we were watching it and like when you were watching Ariana's reaction for the first time, it really triggered you.
Yes, you guys. Like, again, I didn't go through, like, Tanner didn't fucking fuck my best friend. Like, that's not what happened. So I'm not going to say it's nearly like that. But
down to the narcissism.
And
The victim blaming.
The victim blaming. And when fucking Sandoval was like,
it wasn't my intention.
And then when she's like, take accountability, da da da. He goes, okay, fine. I take accountability. Like,
just because you say
I take accountability does not mean you're taking accountability. Like,
no.
Yeah, no. That shit fucking triggered me. I could not have Sandoval on this podcast.
There's been so many times while watching season 11 where he looks and acts so much like Tanner. It's actually crazy. It's actually crazy.
It's crazy because now watching it on the other side of all of this, I'm like, what the hell was I doing?
I mean,
like, how did I not see this coming?
None of us did.
That's the tale of a narcissist.
Yeah.
You never see it coming.
You never fucking see it coming.
They're so perfect.
And that's the thing.
They're so great. And
Ariana, she says it every 5 minutes of every episode. She was ride or die for him.
Yeah.
And you were ride or die for Tanner.
I was about to move home back to the fucking Bay.
For him. You're about to change your life for him.
Completely. Without a doubt either. Like, no. So willingly, so yeah. Happily.
Because like,
he built like, this he like your, life in yeah. my head that is just going to be good and gravy.
No.
Yeah, man. It's wow. Crazy.
I don't think they would have imposter syndrome.
Yeah, back to that.
I don't think they would. Speaking Sandoval now, I think Tanner has his own demons, but Sandoval specifically, he is on such a high horse all the fucking time that I can just fully believe that he almost has imposter syndrome being the odd guy out now. Like he feels like, because he said it before, he's like, I've never like been an outcast of my own friend group. And like, he did believe that he was the center of everything.
The universe.
Literally. And he could do no wrong. And even if he did wrong, it was, well, it's because ABC.
something else.
Yeah.
It's never me. No. It couldn't be me. I think about, excuse me, these narcissists in the world are one problem, sure. But someone like Sandoval and so many other celebrities, I'm sure, that we don't even know of that are narcissists. Like, we're giving narcissists like this platforms.
It's scary.
What is it doing to their little green monster inside of
them?
They
love it. They love it.
Exactly.
They have the spotlight now.
I think they should be in jail. I think, you know, like Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
I think there should be a show where it's like the narcissist hunter.
Yeah.
And then you lock them up or like put them on an island. Let them like eat themselves.
All live together on their little narcissistic island. Do you think?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Well, it depends.
If two narcissists live together?
Yes!
If they've got in a, like a relationship?
Yeah. Have we ever, is anyone, do they know anyone or have they ever been involved with a narcissist and they are also a narcissist?
I just don't think it would happen.
It's like.
They would quickly, one of the narcissi.
Yeah.
One of them would quickly realize, oh, I can't pull a quick one on, I can't manipulate this person.
Yeah. They would never end up together because they
feel sniff each other out probably.
Yeah.
Like dogs sniffing butts.
Exactly.
That's probably what they do.
And they narcissists feed off of
manipulation and getting one over on the other guy. And if the other guy isn't willing to
be got over,
then they,
yeah,
it wouldn't work.
I do want to sit on that one a little bit though.
I think there should be more information like readily available about narcissists.
They don't give it up. They lie.
Yeah,
they're not gonna tell you what they're actually
feeling. I would love to watch a documentary about narcissists and how it works.
Well, watch Vanderpump.
Well, and don't they say that like every serial killer is a narcissist?
Probably.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I made that up, but I could see it.
At this point, everything bad in the world stems from narcissism in my head.
Yeah.
Sorry. Should we bring it back to imposter syndrome? It's a tangent.
It's fresh
in our head. It's scandal.
But it is. It's all relevant.
Yeah. Maybe
people are on their high fucking horse, and for what reason?
Sometimes I think maybe being a narcissist is kind of cool because then you're just like, it's like the ignorance is bliss. Like you're like in your own little fucking bubble. And
I've had that thought a lot recently.
Sometimes I talk about that a lot. I either want to be on the narcissistic side of being naive where you're like, I'm the best thing in the world. Like nothing could ever taught me. Or the side that's like sunshine and rainbows all the time and nothing is ever wrong.
I think, something just clicked.
What?
I think
I'm a narcissist.
I think the first one is Sandoval and the second one is Raquel.
Oh. Yeah.
I definitely get a little narcissism coming from Raquel.
Rachel. I don't get narcissism, but finish the thought.
And I think she definitely lives in sunshine and rainbows naivety. And he is very clear. Like we don't have to label him because we all know. And I just think maybe that's where the thing came in. Like she was just so,
I believe great. What anybody's going to tell me.
Yeah. But she and also
he'll tell her whatever she wants to hear. So she stays wrapped around his finger.
Yeah. And she also doesn't give a fuck about anyone around her.
I feel like her not giving a fuck about people around her. Again, and this is all just from context of what we get through Bravo. We don't know these people personally. So
at all.
Stay with us. I think it stems from a place of wanting to be accepted. Like she said that like her self-esteem is low. And like she said, like growing up, she like struggled in school with like the public speaking and all that. Like I feel like she was just doing it because like the cool guy told her to.
But there's something about her that just tells me that she actually thinks she could do no wrong. And I think it was something that was fed in her. So, like, cause she was
people
in,
write her off.
She was in she was in pageants and she even said like, I lived my life in a way that would lead me to become, wasn't her goal to be like Miss America or like
Miss California
or something. Yeah. And like, you have to have like the perfect
one track mind too.
Yeah. And the perfect facade, outward facing facade for people. And I think that it went deeper for her and it painted something.
It's all she ever knew.
Right.
Like she worked off one type of engine.
Yeah.
Pageantry is another fucking beast.
That's
like
crazy.
I would never put my kid in a pageant.
No way.
Any pageant queens listening? Because are you okay?
Are you okay?
But for real, like that.
What did that like? Are you recovering?
Yeah. And like, I don't see the point of pageantry, to be honest. Like who's the overall better candidate?
Yeah.
The prettiest, aspiration, motivational speaking, all the fucking like categories they do. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
For what? Like, what a weird competition.
It to be a role model for what other women. I mean, the fucking head of it was Trump for how long?
Nuts.
For how long? And like, it was to pick the next best role model for what a woman should aspire to be. It's actually baffling.
The fact that it's still an industry just yeah. so telling.
I want to know more about it. And I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
So we're not going to sit in here and act like we do, but it's one of those things where how could it be good? How could it be setting a good example for anyone? Anyone.
Even young men watching, thinking that this is what
pretty means.
What pretty means. And then young women watching, being like, oh my God, this is what I need to be. And if I'm not, then I'm not like equal to these like
literally
trophies.
Rating women.
Yes. Yeah.
Rating women.
Yeah.
Everyone go watch Pretty Hurts music video by Beyonce. Oh.
That music video
it's so good.
That song.
My
that
aspiration
song is
in life.
Beautiful.
Oh, I love Sia.
Oh my God. What a beautiful message.
I love it.
I love it.
My aspiration in life. My aspiration in life.
Oh, it's really so good. I was really captivated by that. I thought you were going to give it a performance.
I think I should start acting.
I think you could do like a.
I think I could do commercial acting.
Yeah. You can like,
I could
like
be
snap into,
yeah. I think
like
I could
clean
be,
and like,
yeah,
like kind of what we're saying the last episode, or was that Patreon? I don't know. The like Netflix accent that people are talking about, like how it's just so picture perfect, and yeah. like I think you could do something like.
Do you
want
to take some acting classes?
I'd love to do improv.
Okay, I can't do improv. God no.
Oh,
I would be mortified the whole time.
what if you got good at it? Imposter syndrome.
I don't think it's in me. I really, and that's not even imposter syndrome thing. No, I don't think it's in me.
You know what?
I just know my place in the world. And improv was, we should go. There's an improv show in Brooklyn. It's at this bar. It's like in the back of this bar, and these groups go up. We should go.
I would love
really fucking funny.
Let's go. Let's find one this week.
It's so they do every Sunday. I followed them and they followed me back.
Liza's coming to town. What if we went with Liza? She'd love that.
During the week?
Yeah.
Okay. During the week, their shows are like 4:30 p. So
take the day off.
But we'll go.
Yeah.
They're really fucking good.
4:30 is weird.
Yeah. And it's in the back of a bar. So I don't know.
Broad daylight. Yeah. Midweek, 4:30.
They do it every Sunday at like 8:00.
Okay.
I think it's every Sunday. I don't know. Their schedule changes, but we'll go.
Oh, if you guys, anybody in the New York area know of any other like improv shows we could add to this list, I would love to
send
them
our way.
Isn't there one like a Broadway show or something? Oh, wait, no.
Are you thinking of Shakespeare?
No, I'm thinking it's I don't know the name of it, but it's like a show that never starts.
Oh, yeah.
And like, they
I know what you're talking about.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Liza told me that was really good. Maybe we should go see a Broadway show. Yeah.
We should go see Enemy of the People.
Oh, yeah, guys. Who's in it?
Victoria Pedretti.
Love her.
She's from You. I don't know his name, but the actor that plays Kendall in Succession. And then also the actor that plays like the Italian dad in
White Lotus.
Yeah, White Lotus.
We
the three
have
of
to
them.
See it.
And it's like it seems
it looks
like murder
whimsical,
mystery.
Yeah, like maybe like 18 early 1900s or something.
Yeah, he's a lawyer and then something happens.
What?
Yeah, we should go watch it.
Victoria Pedretti.
And they're only the cast, I think. Up until cool. June something. So we have a couple of months, but we should do it.
Okay. We have a month. A little over a month. How crazy is that? It's almost May. Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
I know.
It is mid-April. That's nuts.
It's just crazy. I saw a post today that said October's in 6 months.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
I know. It's a little pumpkin. Like Halloween.
I'm actually seeing so much fall shit on my TikTok feed.
I don't know why.
I just want summer.
We barely have fucking sun yet.
I know.
I
just want summer.
This past weekend was Coachella weekend one, and we've been really struggling here,
really
guys.
Sad.
So keep us in your thoughts and prayers.
It's really sad.
We played chess last night because I was like, Alex, I need to get off my phone. Like,
I haven't even opened. Like, I'm not doing anything on social media this weekend. I can't take part. I can't take part when I wish I was in the desert. The FOMO is really fucking real.
It is.
And it wasn't real last time, I think, because we were still like, oh, no, we're in New York. Like,
right.
we're fine here. We don't need the desert. But
it also sucks when we're seeing everybody out there and it's rainy and gloomy here this weekend. And I'm like,
it's supposed to be 70 degrees tomorrow, though.
Even that, though, like,
right.
we're getting excited over 70 degrees. And we used to have like 85 by now. I know. I don't know. I just, but then you know what? Follow me here, and maybe we sound like haters, but no, we're not haters.
We do not hate.
We do not hate. Grass is greener because I know, and we know damn well the decades we've gone to Coachella. Mm. What it really is like once you're there, especially with the way Coachella is now in like the influencer space, like everyone's just there on their fucking phones.
Yeah.
Just making it look pretty on social media. Like it, we were saying if we go back, which I'm sure we will, car camping.
Yeah.
That's, we'll go, I feel like that's the only way to get the real Coachella experience.
The Coachella that we miss, and I know still exists for so many fucking people. It's the one that I want to experience again is going back car camping, literally like no work.
I don't exactly. I don't want to go with a brand. I don't want to go hop around
parties.
All the parties.
The thing is like when in the height of that, you go to Coachella, and I'm going to put in quotes because you go to party after party after party, maybe go into the festival to see the headliner and then leave for another
party
after party.
Yeah.
You're not even at the festival for the whole fucking weekend. It's but
I did it. I've done it and it was fun when I did it. I'm not going to talk shit on that. Like I enjoyed every year that I went, but I guess now I crave
just going,
just like, and I think
that's why we love Gov Ball and we loved Bonnaroo because it was just going to a music festival. Yeah, we do. We haven't gone the past 2 years and it's kind of crazy.
Oh, Bonnaroo is amazing.
When is it this year?
I think May. It's usually before Gov Ball. Because remember last year we were like, okay, if we do both, we have 1 weekend in between to recover.
Oh, is that what it is? I'm looking it up right now. Okay, every time I type in Bonnaroo, my dead grandma's Instagram profile comes up.
Ah, classic.
Damn it, Bonnie.
Damn it, Grandma Bonnaroo.
June 13th.
That's the weekend after.
After.
You know if you say yes, I'll go.
It's just so much closer.
2 hour plane ride, tops.
Tops.
And think about all the money we're saving, not saving, but like not spending with GovBall because we live here. We literally just take a train and then come back before fucking 11 p.m.
Tickets are still available.
Yeah.
4 day tickets.
Oh yeah, it starts on Thursday.
We should go.
I'm really down.
Where would we stay? Remember the hotel fucking situation? We could rent a car.
Sleep in the car.
Well, we can go car camping.
Oh. Well, I guess it's still sleeping in the car. Yeah, what if we camped?
Is anyone going to Bonnaroo?
I would love to camp.
Convince us.
All right, well, I need to eat something, and then I need to get ready for the Sumo Wrestling Championship, World Championships.
Shit to do. I'm going bowling tonight.
That's my new...
My nails.
It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. That's my new two truths and a lie. I'll throw that one in there. Like, I've been to the World Championship Sumo Wrestling.
Wasn't there one that you... like got under your belt a couple months ago?
Let me think.
I don't know. I don't have any two good ones.
You could totally. I already got one.
Do I want you to say
it? No, you don't want me to say it. But you got one.
What is it?
Oh, yeah. I just told her off camera.
I think I actually think about this a lot. I think one day I will come out and say it.
I hope you do. You should.
You guys, it's nothing serious.
You should. There's somebody else in the influencer space,
you know what?
That has,
I know,
spoke out about it. And
oh, really?
Yeah, bitches love her. People are probably like, "What could this possibly be?" And I promise you have no
idea.
And you like couldn't even guess.
Not even serious.
No, yeah, it's
like, it's just one of those things where I'm like.
It's not even a big deal. Say it.
No, right now? God, no. This would have to be like a truth or drink thing.
Okay, next truth or drink. Guys, ask Alex for the deepest, darkest secret and we'll know what it means.
Also, if you don't know, we have a Patreon.
Hello.
Where you get an extra episode every Friday. And sometimes we talk about what we talked about on Monday, but oftentimes we just do like a general advice episode. So you can always write in to us and we'll get to your submission and we'll give you advice on Friday's episode.
Yep. Send us a DM through the Patreon app and let us know, as always, let us know if you want to be anonymous or not.
And
sorry, I totally just popped a whitehead on my arm.
Oh,
that was gross. Sometimes I forget we're on visual.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you do too.
Yeah, I do. I'm so sorry.
Well, if you, please, Kristen deserves a 5-star right now. Please. So if you are listening on Spotify or Apple Music, rate us and give us 5 stars. And don't talk about Kristen's pimple popping.
Yeah, it's okay.
And if you're on YouTube, then subscribe and leave us a comment and turn on your post notifications. We post every Monday at midnight Eastern time.
Also, and lastly, we have a very, very cool and exciting and amazing announcement coming.
Monday.
This week.
Next Monday.
Wednesday. This Wednesday, the 17th. So make sure you're following us on socials at Advice Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Kristen McAtee.
I'm at alexcoat.jpg.
And yeah, it's really cool.
It's going to be really
exciting
cool.
And like definitely feeling some of the imposter syndrome symptoms. I think that's this kind is, of why we wanted to talk about it this week too.
This is it's definitely relevant in our lives right now. But
there's a good side of it that's the, like we are also utilizing. Yes. So
we're here. Yeah. We're deserving. Keep your ears perked on Wednesday. You'll find out what we're talking about.
It's really cool. Ooh, it's really cool. Okay. All right, you guys. I love you so much. Have a good rest of your week and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.